hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning, because we are here at Club Marconi. It is absolute pandemonium. Over 2,500 Liverpool supporters are in the house, and I think I've seen two Tottenham.
You saw two.
I saw Tottenham Hotspur supporters here. Just incredible scenes here in the west of Sydney. There is a sea of red, and they are very, very happy to start their Sunday morning with a 2-0 Champions League victory over Tottenham Hotspur at Estadio Metropolita in Madrid. We're not in Madrid, Ray, but it feels that way. Good morning to you, mate. As a Liverpool supporter, you must be pumped.
It's huge. Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Grown men, women and children are in tears here in Club Marconi. It's been an extraordinary season for Liverpool. If they hadn't have won this, it would have gone without a trophy despite all this success. But 2-0 against Spurs. We're joined by Phil Moss. Phil, you're a massive Liverpool supporter. How good is this?
Oh, it doesn't get any better than that. Well, the only thing better would be to be inside that stadium in Madrid, to be honest.
Feels but like it here, though.
The
Phil.
Atmosphere here at Club Marconi, this club is steeped in football tradition and history. And to be here this morning and celebrate this with, there's 3,500 people inside this club, downstairs and upstairs.
It's amazing.
Just absolutely outrageous. It brings back all the power. I had goosebumps most of the morning, but at full time, you can't describe that feeling.
I've got to say, the goalkeeper for Liverpool, Alisson, he's not man of the match. He was unbelievable.
He was. Look, in honesty, if you take the emotion away, it wasn't the greatest game of football, but it was a tense final. It was an arm wrestle. Tottenham certainly played their part, but Alisson and Van Dijk, I thought, stood tall, and that speaks to the fact that Tottenham did ask questions this morning of Liverpool's defence, and they stood really tall. But in the end, it was Origi who came off the bench. A bit of conjecture whether he would start ahead of Firmino. Firmino got the nod. Origi comes off the bench, scores the goal that clinched it, and you could just see what it meant to him and his manager at full time, a warm embrace between Klopp and Origi.
Sixth European Championship for the famous Liverpool Football Club. Congratulations to them on that. The first final win for Jurgen Klopp, who has been there a number of times and just fallen short, not on this occasion. So.
And now the players are allowed to touch that sign as they go out onto Anfield. Jurgen Klopp said, you cannot touch this sign about Liverpool until we win a trophy. They've done it.
And the engraver was at work straight away, putting in the name Liverpool.
Incredible. And Ray's point is a really pertinent one, because what Klopp has done since he took over is he said, respect the past, but don't live in the past.
Correct.
So we are moving forward. And part of that about touching the sign, welcome to Anfield, well, this is Anfield, is about moving forward and recreating
making their own
history.
Yep.
Exactly.
They have created it this morning in Madrid. Congratulations to the Liverpool Football Club. 2-0. By the way, is anyone here precisely predict a two-goal victory for Liverpool? Anyone?
There may well have been one, and first goal scorer of Mo Salah as well, but we'll leave that one out. But
shrouded in controversy as well. Do you think it was a fair penalty?
Yes, I do. Look, okay. It hit the chest first, but I'm comfortable it also hit the arm on the way off the chest, and the arm was in an unnatural position.
We'll go through this game very shortly. There's a fair bit of other football news around as well with Mossy. After the break, we're going to have a chat with Adrian Bott, Mark Newnham. If time permits, we're going to take your calls this morning as well. Let us know if you're a Liverpool Football Club fan as well. Zorba will be along, of course.
State of Origin weekend.
We've got 3 days and we've got State of Origin. By the way, if you want to come and watch State of Origin at Club Marconi, please do it. They are the home of live sports. We'll tell you all about that very shortly. You can get them on their Facebook page or indeed their website, clubmarconi.com.au. Tommy Berry had 4 winners yesterday, so we'll have a chat to him about that. An outstanding day at Rosehill Gardens. Event Cinemas quiz. Score update, Ray?
I've forgotten.
Me
and
too.
Pandemonium at Marconi.
The only score I can look at the moment is Liverpool 2, Tottenham 0. Jared Daffy from TAB will be along. He probably supports Liverpool now. He's a fair weather fan.
Good man, Jared.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying he's not a good man. He's just a fair weather fan. Speaking of Liverpool and speaking of State of Origin, Why don't we get State of Origin's biggest Liverpool fan, Peter Sterling.
Oh, is he a Liverpool man?
Oh,
is he?
Massive Liverpool man.
Another reason why I like Sterling.
When he played, I think he played with Leeds.
No, sorry. He played with Hull.
Hull, yeah.
And he went over and he met all the Liverpool players when he was there. Bruce Grobbelaar, Craig Johnson, etc. That was back in 1985.
We've got Peter Sterling to talk about State of Origin, correct?
Oh, if we can stop talking about... He's a massive Liverpool fan. Loves James Milner. So we get Sterling on to talk about this Liverpool win as well. Tanya will give us a sports update. The latest rugby league news with Dean Bulldog Ritchie, and of course your calls on 13 53 53. But Mossy, let's go back, and this is really one to savour for Liverpool fans, because they had no right to be there really, given the fact of what happened in the semi-final leg, and yet they've, as we say, created history again.
They did, and don't forget they had their troubles through the group stage as well, so both Spurs and Liverpool. So But the real talking point was the semi-final for both clubs, and for them to emerge victorious into this final was just remarkable stuff. It's a stuff made of legend. And Liverpool, you know, they say you got to lose one to win one. Well, they lost last year to Real Madrid, and we're just looking at Mo Salah on screen now. Remember how he was bashed out of that final last season, and now he's come back, scored the first goal within the inside the second minute. And look, it's what dreams are made of. And these guys now go down in absolute history. They've done what Klopp set out to do in some regards, and that is create their own legend, their own history. They've done that, and I'm so pleased for Klopp, because, you know, he goes down in history now as taking the club past Bayern Munich to get their sixth European title. Still a fair way off Real Madrid on 13 European titles, but
the most successful English club in European Cup football history.
Yeah, quite remarkable. It really is. And such a rich, rich history around Liverpool. Liverpool is not just about football. It's about... You know, it's about the city of Liverpool.
Yes.
It's about the millions of fans around the world, and this will be a very popular victory.
Well, just
except for you, Jimmy.
No, you know what? You know what?
Even you looked excited this morning.
He's been swept away by it.
Well, the atmosphere is unbelievable. The atmosphere
here
is unbelievable.
Here comes the trophy, James.
And carried by my man Ian Rush.
Wow, look at Ian Rush. Doesn't he look great?
He looks fit enough to play, doesn't he? Yeah.
He signed the jersey that Phil Moss is wearing at the moment, and there are some very happy legends. We saw in the stands Stephen Gerrard was there. Of course, he was a winner back in 2005, their most recent victory in the Champions League. But what does this mean now for Jurgen Klopp? I mean, he's established himself. He's had the most successful season in English Premier League history to run second. They've got this superpower in Manchester City that there is resources not an issue. What does it mean now for Jurgen Klopp and his tenure at Liverpool Football Club?
This is a very, very defining moment for Jurgen Klopp, because there was a lot of talk about how far he'd taken Liverpool since he's been there, but without any silverware.
Yes.
So this is now, mate, you don't get any bigger than this at club level. But, you know, it leaves a legacy straight away from Jurgen Klopp now. So he now goes down in the history books as one of those managers who's delivered a major piece of silverware for Liverpool. And I think he's on the precipice of building something really, really special here. Like what he's done to that squad over the last few seasons to now deliver the Champions League trophy, finish as the best runner-up in EPL history. So there's a lot to like about where he's taking this team and this club.
What about English football, Phil? They've had the four teams in the two biggest European competitions. Liverpool have now won the European Cup final. For English football, which has sort of been overshadowed by Spanish football in the modern era, what does this mean for the Premier League and English football?
I think we've got to be careful not to get too carried away, because the other morning in the Europa Cup final, there was one English player.
That's
on
right.
The pitch.
Yeah. There were 17 different nationalities amongst the 22 starting players.
That's right. And this morning I think there was 7 English players amongst the 2 starting lineups, and 4 non-English managers in charge of those teams. So it's a golden era for English football on the European stage, but they're not. It's
not necessarily
not,
English
it's
players.
It's not built around English players and managers.
Oh, I think that we need to be careful how we define it, right? Because I actually think this is great for English football, because the English Premier League is the biggest show in town,
right?
Sold in every country in the world, and the broadcast deals keep getting higher and higher and higher.
It's bigger than the NFL, isn't it? would you say?
Broadcast deals suggest that it's much bigger.
Yeah.
And that's because they have an international presence.
Correct.
And that's what the NFL don't have. The NBA, on the other hand, too.
It's similar.
But back here, I look at the crowd is so engaged here. Everyone is dressed in red. My point is, how is the FFA, how do the A-League tap into what is clearly a passion for the world game here in Australia?
It's a tribalism. It's having superstars. It's the marketing. So I look at Liverpool this morning and I've got goosebumps from the first minute to the 95th minute because I've followed them my whole life.
Right.
So Liverpool bring back memories of when I was 3 and 4 years of age.
Yes.
So it's a really tribal thing. For me and my family, there's young boys sitting in front of us right here at Club Marconi. The other thing is the superstars. We will never have the best Aussie players at the peak of their powers playing in the A-League because when they're at the peak of their powers and they're superstars within Australia, they go overseas.
Yeah.
We need more stardust around the A-League. We need to market it better.
On that very point, can we get more marquee players, even if at the end of their career, whatever the FFA has to do, get them out here. We've lost Honda for the new season, but when you have a really big-name marquee player, they bring people to the game, Phil.
They do, Ray. And they get on the social pages, not just the sports pages.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they deliver on the pitch as well, but it's coming down to money. Asia is leaving us behind with regards how much money they can offer these superstars who are on the way down in their careers. So it's a tough one to manage. It really is.
And, the next A-League deal will not be as lucrative as the current
one.
If there is a deal. So that's a concern too going forward.
That's right. Well, I think it goes without saying we've got, you know, a very short space of time to fix the game in this country. There's going to be some really tough decisions to be made, but they need to be made now.
Well, there's 80 million people live in Japan, you know, and they all love football.
Yeah.
There's 1.3 billion people live in China. There's 25 million people live in Australia, and there's 4 very competitive football codes. So that's the challenge that football has at the moment as we see. The presentation is just about to be concluded here.
This place is about to erupt again.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We won't hear you in a second, Jim.
The energy in this room at McClub Marconi
here we go.
Is quite frightening.
Oh, now I've got goosebumps because this is just incredible. Robertson at the front
with
the trophy. We're waiting for it to go skyward. And there it is. Unbelievable scenes
here at Marconi.
Wow.
They almost match the scenes we have at Estadio Metropolita in Madrid. To think that some of Australia's great sporting stars, Robbie Farah, Glenn Schofield, they're over there.
I know. Yeah.
Because they love the club, they love the sport, they love the occasion.
And now
they're witnessing it firsthand. Yeah, I think we will. We'll try and get hold of Glenn Schofield. He said he's going to be available. If he can hear us, then we'd love to chat to him. But just incredible scenes. Congratulations, Liverpool Football Club. They have won 2-0
There will be
over Tottenham Hotspur.
One very proud former Liverpoolian at Cheers Bar in Sydney this morning, Craig Johnson, an absolute Liverpool legend.
Yeah.
I was with him on Friday. He was in tears just talking about what this means to the club and the people of Liverpool. And that's years and years after he left the club. So incredible.
By the way, we've got to let people know that Australia's playing in a World Cup at the moment. They played their first game overnight. Congratulations to the Aussie team. Afghanistan 207.
Your man, Afghanistan?
Afghanistan.
Rashid didn't turn, James.
Rashid Khan still got his one.
Yeah, he did. Man of the match was?
David Warner. 89 not out from 114 balls. 89 not out from 114 balls. And it was a man of the match performance. They did it pretty comfortably. And as we would expect, 3 down.
Good solid start.
But a really good start for them.
Zampa
it was great to see Mitchell Stark picking up wickets in the first over.
Zampa got 3 for. Pat Cummins, isn't he consistent? Another 3 for. He's such a good player. Speaking of this national sides, Phil, while we've got you here, the Matildas have lost 3-0 overnight against the Netherlands. Do we read much into that friendly?
Well, look, I think we have to because they've now conceded eight goals in the last two friendlies against USA and the Netherlands. So doesn't speak to the defensive structure too well a week out from the World Cup, but listen to this.
First into song here.
The Liverpool anthem.
Oh, enjoy this, Liverpool supporters. Yeah. club. I've got goosebumps. Just incredible. Oh, what a story it was too, because it was out of the old musical Carousel, You'll Never Walk Alone. Jerry and the Pacemakers, yep, the legendary Liverpool band, put out a single in 1963. Word went through to Bill Shankly at the Liverpool Football Club, and he said, we'd like to see... He heard it along with the players, and they were blown away about how emotional it was. Bill Shankly, the next time he met Jerry Marsden of Jerry and the Pacemakers, he said, Jerry, I've given you a football team and you've given us a song.
Wow.
And from that moment on, it has become the anthem of Liverpool Football Club. Amazing scenes here at Club Marconi. Incredible scenes in Madrid as well. They've won their sixth European championship. They are the most successful football club in English football history in Europe, and they are enjoying the spoils of success right now.